Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Thursday, May 4th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the big book, of course. We're on page 79, the second paragraph down. Usually, however, other people are involved, ending with, "Here I am." We'll be studying that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kim J., the 12 Traditions, Alex K., and readers of the text are Claire E., Kathy B., and Sherry Z. is our backup person. The share ID for Wednesday, May 3rd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,223. That's 20223. And for this morning's meeting, Thursday, May 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 20,225. That's 20225. And our newcomer greeter, if there are any newcomers, stay on the line, is Lois P. After the meeting ends and announcements, is Leslie M. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Add a vision for you, Big Book Study. Our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kim J. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Kim J. from Arkansas, gratefully recovered compulsive eater and bulimic. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you, Kim J. And I will now ask Alex K. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker, should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book page 79, second paragraph down. Usually, however, other people are involved, and it ends with, "Here I am." And I will now ask Claire E. to get us started. Good morning, Claire. Press star 1 to unmute, Claire. We can't hear you, Claire. Star 1. Maybe Claire is having difficulty getting on the line. Oh, Sherry Z, I hate to do this to you, but you're our backup reader.
No problem. This is Sherry Z, recovered in.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait, hang Sherry Z, she got on. Claire, are you there?
I'm here, yes. I'm so sorry. I got kicked off. I don't know why.
Okay, well, you're kind of faint. Can you get closer to your phone or something?
Yep. Is that better now?
Much better. Thank you.
Brilliant. I'm so sorry about that. It cut me off. Okay. My name's Claire E.
All right. Take a breath.
My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Cornwall in the UK. Thank you, everyone. I'm sorry about that. And I'm just going to just ask God to come back in here. So page 79. Usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we knew had remarried. Because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced our way of life, had secured a position, and was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he'd walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." So I was a little thinking about this as I was just listening to the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I don't have any dramatic examples like that from my own amends. But this couple of pages that we're on at the moment is talking all about financial amends. And I certainly had plenty of those to make. I was probably a compulsive stealer, I would even say. When I was in my illness, I would steal money, I would steal food. And one of my real dreads about doing step 8 and 9 was having to fess up to people about that and repay it. I was actually less bothered about the repayment than I was about the actual confession to people. I just thought it would be hugely embarrassing, and I feared the consequences. And the paragraph before talks about personal consequences and having to sort of really be willing to go to any lengths and face losing reputation. But as it says, often other people were involved too. And, you know, there are a couple of examples I can think of from my own case. One was involving stealing some money from an ex-boyfriend when we were together. And one was a work-related one. It wasn't money, but it was time. I'd been paid time that I hadn't actually done at work. And both of those obviously had implications for my family, you know, my husband, my any new girlfriend or wife that he might have now by me recontacting him. And I think the real thing that comes out to me here is hasty and foolish martyr. And, you know, when it talks about step 9, we made direct amends to people except when to do so would injure them or others. And I needed my sponsor for this. I really did. And we went through exactly what those consequences might be and, you know, came up together with some sensible suggestions of how I could do those amends without causing peripheral damage. And for me, you know, the money that I stole from my ex-boyfriend, it was deemed that it probably wasn't actually a very good idea to get hold of him for the amount of money I'd stolen. And what I did was made a donation to a charity that I know that he would have really enjoyed and liked. And I still make donations to that charity, actually. And the other amend was to, you know, work out how many hours that I had not worked but had been paid for and pay them back over. And that's still ongoing. That's still a period of time. In fact, actually, this serves as a little bit of a gentle reminder to me that that's something that needs to be ongoing. So, you know, there were other ways around it that don't hurt my family and don't affect other people, but still allow me to get good with God about my previous behaviour and making those financial restitutions. And I think, yeah, that's sort of and the hasty and foolish. Yes, I'm a great one for that. Yes, fine, I'll do it. You know, off I go. And I just need to be sane and emotionally sober about making my amends. And that's why best run. Why from other people's experience, from other people's examples, and from working with a sponsor, I can ground myself. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Claire E. from the UK, getting us started. And I'm going to take a lineup of names. Let me remind you where we're at. We're on page 79, second paragraph. Usually, however, other people are involved, and it ends with "Here I am." And I just want to remind you that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared in the last 2 days, please skip today and get on tomorrow. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Elaine G. from New York.
Elaine G.
Nevada.
Deborah G.
Cheryl
Janice
S.
C.
Cheryl S.
Yes.
Okay, who was after Cheryl S.? Thought I heard somebody else. Nope. Maybe Elaine G.
Jenna
Deborah C. G. Jenna? Is it Jenna?
Shanna. C from Tennessee.
Oh, Shanna. Okay, thanks, Shanna. Shanna C. Okay, we have 4. Elaine G, Deborah G, Cheryl S, and Shanna C. All right, we'll go with those 4. Good morning, Elaine, followed by Deborah.
This is Elaine G.
Okay.
From New York. Like I had mentioned a few days ago that I had COVID, feeling much better. But anyway, I had to make an amends yesterday. Yesterday, I felt that my friend was in the wrong, that she wasn't going to take a COVID test after being around me. You know, she's selfish, this, that, you know. And I ripped her apart. I mean, like, you know, how could you do that kind of thing? You're not responsible. And it was really terrible in the text, what the heck I said to her. So, you know, like, I thought she was in the wrong, but I was in the wrong, you know, talking like that. So, yes, I did make an amends, you know, for my wrongdoing of talking to her that way. And unfortunately, this is not the first time I've spoken to her this way. And because of this, I ended the relationship for 20 years. It had to be ended anyway. It was very toxic. But I did a 10-step. And in my 10-step, I realized in my part, you know, my part in this whole thing and having to do with the relationship, having to do with my wrongs, you know, my part, you know, my part, and how to make amends. Also, I had to make an amends to my father years ago, but I didn't do it until I did my 4th step. And, well, it wasn't a living amends. You know, it was, he claimed me as a dependent because he was supporting me, and I got his income tax return statements, you know, income tax return, a check, and instead of giving it to him, I spent it. Me and my son went to wonderful restaurants and this and that and thought nothing of it. At the time, I was compulsive eating and drinking, and so like I said, it wasn't a living in amends. But I didn't make an amends. And I thank you.
Thank you, Elaine. Next up is Deborah G., followed by Cheryl S. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service this morning and everyone's service making this meeting possible and all the shares self-stepping me today. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're here with us today. It's an amazing way to live. And geez, I've had so many things in the past where I've stole money, shoplifted, you know, all those things that I had to go and make the wrong right, you know. and then I remember one big one where I was in a marriage, and because of our compulsive spending, debting, and everything, he was in prison. And, you know, he called me and said, I found an attorney here. He said, go out and max all the cards out, and we're going to file bankruptcy. And at that time, my frame of thinking, because I was drinking, was, oh, okay, you know, and I did. And then later on in my recovery, I had to look at all that money, you know, because that was their money, you know. And so I started with my sponsor going about making those wrongs right by the places that were still open in business, going and giving the money to the businesses, giving it back, telling them what I did, and giving it back. And then the ones that weren't in business, couldn't take care of, my sponsor was very helpful in being creative in ways of paying that money back, you know, through Seven Tradition. I can't remember the other ways, but, you know, so that I could, you know, really be at peace with all that. And also feel good, have those feel-good feelings of being accountable for the unmanageability, financial unmanageability in my life. And I know today when I do all those things and I feel good about it, I don't want to go to the food. But when I don't feel good, I'm looking for ease and comfort with the food. So I'm so grateful for those beautiful 12 steps and all of you fellows that helped me along this way. Thank you.
And thank you, Deborah G. Up next is Cheryl S., followed by Shanna C., and after Shanna, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Nevada. And when I was reading the step 9 that goes along with this paragraph, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, comma, except when to do so would injure them or others. And when I first got into recovery and I got to this step, and I was so earnest and sincere about, you know, making amends, even though I was terrified, because that first part meant that I was going to have to truly humble myself and admit where I was wrong and fix those wrongs. But the other part, I just sort of took for granted, except when to do so would injure them or others. And my husband at the time, he scoffed at step 9 and said, you know, that's just a big loophole. And that's just how you're going to get out of making amends. And I was mortified because I was very sincere. And I wasn't going to try and get out of making amends. But what I realized was that, you know, there's a whole other part about this, and that is how it applies to my character defect of being selfish and self-seeking, dishonest, and inconsiderate. And in my disease, you know, I am all of those things, and inconsiderate in particular about not really considering other people's feelings or their needs or their point of view, or certainly not their higher powers design for their life. And I could not have done this by myself because of those character defects, and my instincts were still pretty heavy towards those things. And they were getting better. I'd done 6 and 7, but I still had a long way to go. So it was so important to me to go with my sponsor and sit down and with each amends, look at both sides of step 9. You know, how do I need to humble myself? Where do I need to humble myself? And then, as important, and in some cases more importantly, how is this going to impact the people that are involved in this? And I couldn't just look at myself, and I couldn't even just look at maybe the person that I was making the amends to, because everybody, we're all so intertwined, you know, that butterfly effect. You know, I had to look at how it would affect my children, how it would affect my husband, how it would affect my family, you know, how it would affect my neighbors, how is this wave, this ripple, going to go out? And thank you. And how am I going to do this in a loving, and because love and tolerance is my code. And I am so grateful for a loving sponsor that came before me. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your experience.
And thank you, Cheryl S. And I'll let everybody know where we're at. We're on page 79. Usually, however, other people are involved. Second paragraph down, and it ends with, here I am. After Shanna C., I'll get another list of names. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C. from Tennessee, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks, Mo, for your lead and everyone who shared. I'm so grateful for directions on how to go back and repair the damage I've done in the past. The biggest principle I see in this paragraph is, just to keep it real simple, is stop the bleeding. All right, like, I'm here to repair damage, not to create more. First, the harm has to, I got to stop doing harm, right? And so the all of the 12 steps have led up to this, you know, the understanding I'm powerless over, you know, the food and the destructive ingredients and stuff, you know, I can't stop myself. So that in and of itself is an amend. And step 2, came to believe that there's hope, that there's a different way to live. And step 2 and step 3, surrendering to this new way of life, you know, and that there is a power greater than myself that can solve my problems. All of this is an amend. It's all an amend to my thinking, you know. And then getting through step 4 and 5, you get to that point where it's like, okay, I see that this is how I show up left to my own devices. In 6 and 7, I see that I'm unable to change myself. thank God that there is a power greater than me that can and will when I seek him. And then I seek him by taking the directions in this book. And then I get the opportunity to become willing to make amends, because I can see that I really don't want to live in self-will. I don't want to cause the damage that I do. And I get to possibly repair relationships, because that's really all I've ever wanted, is relationship with people and to get along and have some peace, but I didn't know how to do it. Now I'm getting a way to how to do it, you know, and so grateful for that. One of the experiences as far as not causing more harm, my experience with my mother-in-law was unbelievable. I did an amend to start with, and then I ended up working through the steps again, and it ended up having to go back and make an amend to the amend to her. And my experience was, I thought the second amend to the amend would go better than the, you know, it's good or better than the first. And I said to her, you know, this is how I've shown up, and which, you know, I regret it. Is there anything I can do to make it right? And there's more words to that. I had the help of a sponsor and the following directions of the big book, but for time's sake. Anyway, I asked her what I could do to make things right. She said, do not make amends to me anymore. I was like, oh, my God. And she's like, no, I'm serious. She goes, you need to be a mom. You know, all this stuff you're doing with 12-step stuff, you know, I get it or whatever, but you need to be a mom. You need to be, you know, basically what she was saying after crying and going back to my sponsor, feeling like such a victim. My sponsor said, well, don't make amends to her anymore. Practice this stuff. And what I get to do with her now is show up with restraint of tongue and pen, whether I like her or not. Doesn't matter. I'm there to show up the way I show up, to be kind, loving, tolerant, and helpful where I can be, and to not cause more harm, not create drama. I'm to do what she says. And it's hard. But guess what that does? It forces me to rely on God. I get to do 10 steps. I get to pray, and I get to turn my thoughts to others I can help. Thank you. And so, anyway, I'm a work in progress. So grateful to be here. That's all I have.
And thank you, Shanna C. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And I'll now open the lines up for those who would like to share on this second paragraph on page 79. Usually, however, other people are involved, and it ends with, here I am. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Larry G.
Larry G.
Linda P.
Linda P. Oh, nice and slow. I like that.
Selena M.
Selena M.
Natalie S.
Natalie S. Anyone else? We've got four here. I've got Larry G, Linda P, Selena M, and Natalie S. Okay, we'll go with that group. Everyone mute except Larry G. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. Larry G from California. Wait, we got some bad boys and girls on this line. Embezzling funds, stealing money from our relatives. Boy, we can really compete with the AAs out there. You know, if you are new to this call, new to OA, or like me, been in OA for a while and finally have got some relief from the obsession and drying out, you realize that this program is not for the faint of heart. It is the path less taken. Something happened to me when I dried out finally from the massive amounts of sugar and flour. I think my brain was getting wet, because it was taking me longer and longer to recover, 2 or 3 days to recover after having a massive binge with sugar and flour. In 2009, I had retired, and I had gone to the store that I had shopped, and entitlement is one of my major character defects, and I would sample from the binges, right out of these bins. I would go right down the line and sample from the bins, like, you know, chocolate-covered, turtles, right, these candies, and in my mind, I spent so much money there, I had a right to do that, and I got caught. Now, I'm sober, right? I'm sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm presenting myself as absent in OA, but I'm not. And so I go back, and I go to the manager, and I write a check out, and pay for 2 or 3 years. I calculated out and paid for 2 or 3 years of what I stole. And I did that amends through with my AA sponsor. I did not realize, it didn't occur to me until I got absent in this fellowship, OA and Vision for You in 2020. And I dried out for a while. My brain had dried out. And I was now thinking clearly that was a compulsive eating disorder, that I would go to any lengths, right? People in this line are talking about how they go to any lengths to keep practicing their addiction around food. It was the first time I realized that, no, Larry, that wasn't a result of your alcoholism. That was a result of your compulsive eating, your food drunkenness. Anyway, don't go alone on this one. This is a step you're definitely going to want a recovery sponsor to help you with, because we can go out there and do more damage, especially if we had an affair or we had acted out sexually with someone. We don't want to go out and hurt that person or arouse suspicion to their partner. So this is really tricky stuff that you really need to sit down with a recovered sponsor like I have to really, script these things out. What are you going to say and who are you going to say it to? And, you know, who are you going to make a direct amends? Who are you going to make an ongoing amends? Who are you going to, do a indirect amends, like write a letter to the universe and burn it? Anyway, my name is Larry G. I'm in California, and I am so grateful that I'm absent today, and I am neutral with food and free of this session. Thank you. I pass it back to you.
Hey, thank you very much, Larry G. Linda P., followed by Selena M. Good morning, Linda.
Hi there. This is Linda P., recovered compulsive overeater from California. Wow, I had a lot of financial amends, and, they were pretty powerful to do. These were from a long time ago, but the one that was probably the most illegal was I had been given this code by an operator. It was not only a code, but it was a way to figure out how to actually make a code so that I could make free call, long distance calls. But of course, the code that I would create was then on somebody else's credit card. So I had done that for a bit of a time, and I wanted to make an amends for that, and I was a little bit afraid. But it was so many years ago. I thought, I don't think the phone company is really going to do anything legally to me, but there was definitely a little bit of fear about that. And when I called the phone company, I can't tell you how many departments I had that I got bounced to. Nobody knew what to do with me. So I had to say what I did to, it must have been 6 people. I don't know. It was definitely more than a few. And it was very humbling to keep doing it over and over. And finally, I get to this guy, and he goes, you're in a 12-step program. And I said, yes, I am. And he, he was really shocked, that I was doing it. But I felt like, oh my God, I definitely was meant to do this, because, what are the chances that you get somebody in a 12-step program answering a call like this? And he did get me to whatever person it was that I was able to pay a good chunk of money to, and that felt really, really good to clean that up. There are ways to, whether we do it in person, on the phone, donate it, there is a freeing, I think, that happens by taking responsibility for these things. And there was somebody I shared this whole how to make the code thing with, and of course, like it says in that paragraph, I can't say anything about that person. I can only, really talk about myself. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Linda P. Selena M., followed by Natalie S., and we'll have time for maybe one or two more shares after that. Good morning, Selena.
Good morning. Hi, everyone. My name is Selena M., and I'm from Alberta, Canada.
I'm going through my step nine right now, and it's turned out a little different than I think I envisioned it was going to at the beginning of my steps. I always looked forward to doing step nine, and not really look forward to doing step nine. Obviously, it can be pretty humbling, but looking forward to the results of doing step nine, because I know I've carried a lot of guilt and a lot of shame around with me over my adult years. And so when I got to my step nine, some of the, what I expected was a little different than what has actually transpired. I think the biggest thing was, having that opportunity to run past my sponsor all of the different amends that I wanted to make, and getting her opinion on what it was, what she thought about, does this, is this deserve a living amends? Does this deserve a financial, a letter or speaking to the person? so it was really nice to be able to get that perspective for someone who's been recovered for quite a while. And then I think that the other thing that I really noticed, and then somebody had alluded to it earlier, was the butterfly effect, of how my amends were going to affect the people around me. How was it going to affect my children, my husband? And so there were certain ones that I had envisioned that I would be doing way different than I've actually decided to do them because of the people that I might hurt. And so that's been hard, because I am seeing such relief from talking and voicing my regret, or, just being able to voice and acknowledge the wrong that I did to that person. There's been a lot of freedom from that. And then there's been a couple people that I have decided that I will not be making that in-person amends because of the ripple effect, because it who it could affect. And I know I'm doing it, and I know it's the right decision. And, I really want to be able to clear the slate. And so I'm finding other creative ways to do that, but I am having to accept that there's certain people that I cannot make that face-to-face amends with them. So that's just, I think it's a wonderful way to be able to work through this step and to be able to acknowledge the people around me that are going to be affected. I'm feeling lighter and lighter with every step I've went through since 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. It's like there's something lifting, and there's a lightness about me that I don't know if I've ever felt, or I certainly haven't felt it in many, many, many years. So it's just wonderful to be a part of this program. And thank you everyone for showing up and being of service, and I will pass.
And thank you very much, Selena M. And before I take Natalie S., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 79, the second paragraph, usually however other people are involved. And it ends with, here I am. And after Natalie, I'll be able to take maybe 2 to 3 more shares. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning. Thank you for your service and for everyone else in your sharing. And I am a recovered restrictor and over-exerciser, and God's always revealing new ways that I manage my disordered thinking. And for me, step 9, and I'm in Arizona. So step 9 I made last December, and I agree, wholeheartedly with what's been shared about having a sponsor and helping me, who helped my sponsor helped me see my disordered thinking. And what happened was, in retrospect, as I've thought about different situations and different amends, how different people see the world compared to how I see the world. And so I'll give you a quick example. My dad, he's 86, and I love him to death and was so scared to make that amend because I felt like I had failed as a daughter. So I'm 54, he's 86, I'm sitting there, and I remember as a kid, like, I would take change out of his change drawer and go get myself a Diet Coke. And so I'm sitting there, and I said, Dad, I have to do this. And I took change for a number of years, and he kind of looked at me with this quizzical look, and he's like, so how much did you think you'd take? I said, I don't know. I mean, I did it every once in a while, and you know how much, you know, I'm like a couple $100. And I said, but I got to repay it back to you. He looks at me totally honestly and says, well, I never really noticed. And then I had reactions from a daughter that I have a hard relationship with, my sister and my mom, who immediately jumped into, you know, well, you need to do this and you need to show up and I'm not going to believe you and yada, 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 yada. And the whole point is I was able to see their fear based on my behavior with their feedback. And I think that's the hidden gift. In addition to being feeling free and lighter with making these amends and then continuing to learn to understand where my thinking goes awry and whatnot as I live, is that my lens is now not pointed down. I'm not navel gazing as much. I'm not that somebody told me I love this. I'm not that meaning making machine all the time. I'm able to stay, as one of my dear friends and probably yours says, in my own hula hoop and say, gosh, mate, what's true about what they're saying? And so for anyone who, you know, might be wondering, is this going to be hard? Yeah, it's going to be hard. Yeah, you may cry. You may get people angry at you. And in the end, you know, after a little bit of time has passed, I hope that you know, God's able to give you new insights and into how those amends can really change your life and your relationships going forward. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Natalie S. And so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I'm looking at the time here. We have time for two more shares.
Sherry Z, L.A.
Okay, gotcha, Sherry. Sherry Z. One more.
Kristen C from New Mexico.
Okay, we'll stop there. Kristen and Kristen C, I think you said. All right, Sherry, you're up first. Thank you, Sherry.
Good morning, Vision. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Sherry Z in Los Angeles, recovered by the grace of God. And thank you, Mo, and thank you all for the shares. I actually said to Mo this morning, I don't want to share. And literally the shares moved me to share. The ninth step, when I fully did it in as a recovered visionary, as part of my step, was when I truly got recovered after 31 years. And one of the steps, one of the amends I made, I just have to share, it was brutal. I called this woman. She told me that she told a story about what I did to her, which I didn't agree with. I sat, I listened, I was restrained of pen and tongue. I bookended it with my sponsor. I cried beforehand. I cried after. And it was brutal. And then a few months later, I saw her because she's in my universe. And I had seen that she had gained about 80 pounds. And I thought I would have this fear seeing her. And instead, I had this tremendous empathy, and I thought, wow, God, you really are powerful. And then about a year went by, and I didn't see her, and I recently saw her. And one of the things that she was angry about was the way that I had touched her in terms of physicality. And I stood there, and I was noticeably sort of just not shaking her hand, nothing, because I didn't want anything to be misconstrued. And she said to me, can I hug you? And this was a woman who said, I will not take your amends. She told her secretary, I'll give her 1 minute. And I said, yes. And she hugged me. And there was this complete release, both from her end and my end, like it had, like something, quote, spiritual had happened. And what I want to share is that the amend cycle doesn't necessarily happen at the same moment. Like that was like a 2.5 year cycle. And now I see her and there's genuine love between us. And that did not happen the day I called her and asked her if I could make amends. She hung up on me. So God's time is very different than my own, and I'm truly moved by it, and so moved that I had to share on a morning that I said I would not share. So thank you all for your service.
All right. Thank you, Sherry Z. Yeah, can we laugh? And up next, we have Kristen C. And you'll be our last share for today.
Thank you. My name is Kristen C. I'm from New Mexico. This is just so appropriate for me this morning that this paragraph is what was read and it was being shared on. I normally attend a different meeting at this time, but this morning, I know it's principles above personalities, but I needed some new personality. So I jumped on this meeting. I thought, oh, well, that was God directed, because I am on my eighth step right now with my OA sponsor. And I have my list ready and we're going to discuss it today. And I've done this step and the ninth step several times in the past in program. And what I've learned and what I want to remind myself of, since I'm about to do it again, is that the amends making is for my recovery. And all I'm responsible for is making the amends and doing it appropriately. And doing it as directed by my higher power, but I am not responsible for the outcome. So sometimes my amends have been received very well, and sometimes it's been ugly. And it doesn't matter the emotionalism that occurs during the amends. What matters is that I follow direction and I do what I'm guided to do by my higher power and the program. Pardon me, I'm getting over COVID. Anyway, so that's what I want to say out loud, is the outcome is in God's hands. I just have to follow the directions. I have to follow the steps, and the eighth and ninth are part of them. So I'm actually looking forward to unburdening myself again with these steps and doing it with appropriate guidance. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you very much, Kristen Z. We have time for like a 1 minute share if somebody would like to take that. If not, we'll close the meeting. I'll close the meeting.
This is
okay.
Liz Zabat.
Mo, this All is right, Kathy
Liz.
Jo Pete.
Elizabeth, I heard her. 1 minute, Elizabeth, you got.
Good morning. This is Elizabeth A. in Michigan. And I was like, all right, God, if I'm supposed to share, I will. And that was the thing that came to me listening to everyone, which has been amazing, is that my first offense is against my God. That is the first and most important, that I have offended my creator, and that after that, yes, I need help with directions and making it right with my fellows. Thanks. Everyone have a beautiful day.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Elizabeth. That was perfect. All right. We will now thank you, everyone, for your shares and for your service. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Kathy B. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma, and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Have a wonderful